How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Radio, joined, of course, by Dave Meltzer, and today is Christmas here on the radio program. Merry Christmas, Dave.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
How was it today?
It was fine. I got to wake up early in the morning, so watch the kids open the presents, so that's going to be fun.
I hear the youngins figured out Christmas now.
Yeah, Carly figured out Christmas.
Life will never be the same.
She's very, very into it. She's going crazy all night tonight, actually.
Oh, boy.
Running around with Barbie stuff, you know.
Oh, boy.
All the Barbie stuff. Barbie and Barbie cars and, you know, all that good stuff.
Barbie's still a big thing here in 2012, huh?
Barbie's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm out of the loop with the kids' toys.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely for girls.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about any WWE action figures? Your son asked for any of those?
Well, you know he doesn't. He doesn't like wrestling at all.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's got no interest. I don't think I've ever even taken him to I took him to a AAA show once. Every time I want to take him to a WWE show, it's like I just get dirty looks, so I don't even bother anymore.
How about Strikeforce action figures? Do you have any of those?
I don't know that they have them. He's been to Strikeforce and he's been to UFC.
You can't get like a Lorenz Larkin action figure.
UFC action figures, but I don't. Doesn't matter. I mean, he's not really into that either, though. He knows he's into the San Jose Fighters, but it's no big deal.
We should have had the Dave Meltzer. What does Dave want from Santa wish list?
I don't really want anything.
Really?
I just want peace on earth, goodwill, and 2 hour Raws on Sunday nights.
See, I knew I'd get something out of you. Well, man, you should.
Well, we're going to get the 2 hour Raws so at some point. I just don't know when.
If we all would have asked together, maybe Santa could have brought us that instead of getting hit by a car like what happened tonight on Raw. That's quite the Raw.
Yeah, Raw's fine. When I watched the show, it felt like, I mean, you know, like think about the week that they taped. I mean, they had a pay-per-view. They had a pay-per-view, a 3 hour Raw, a 2 hour SmackDown with no commercials, which is almost like you almost have to write about 2.5 to 3 hour show again. Then after that, on that same very night, they had another 3 hour Raw somehow. And then they still had to do a SmackDown the next day. So, I mean, by the time these guys must have been, you know, I mean, by the time this Raw was coming on, I mean, you know, you hear the stories by Tuesday how Vince is exhausted anyway. I mean, you can just imagine at this point. I mean, they were probably running on fumes, and this show was just like, let's get this thing over with show. I mean, you could just see. The only thing I don't think that many people watched the show tonight. And, it's really what happened isn't that important. And you could tell that they put it wasn't any big deal, you know, anything on the show. But my God, did they botch that Alberto Del Rio turn. I mean, it's like they should have just waited like 2 weeks and done it the right way instead of this thing that they did. You know, because in the building, at the end of the show, Alberto Del Rio and Cena joined forces at the end. But this was not on TV, so he was like a babyface last week. Now he's a heel this week, and he's going to be a babyface next week, I guess. It's just, I don't know. Well, I guess if they figure that a lot of the audience isn't watching tonight, it doesn't count, but whatever.
I got out a notepad and started.
This was Russo level, you got to admit.
Well, what happened was I started taking notes when the tree fell on Santa after he got hit by a car. And as soon as that happened, it was like, all right, I need to put this notebook down, take this show not at all seriously, and enjoy it for what it is. And I did.
It was what it was. I mean, it was just time. It was just filling time. That's all.
That's pretty much exactly what it was, actually.
Well, you know, I mean, you couldn't take it seriously. I mean, because you know the production, you know, with the production was like way below level. I mean, when they were doing, you know, usually they, well, of course it's a tape show, so that's the difference. I mean, usually Raw's live. I mean, the sound quality of when Michael Cole was doing the voices from his, you know, I mean, he's got a studio in his house, and the voice levels of his studio from his house as compared to the voice levels of what he was doing live with Lawler were, like, so completely different that it was just like, God, it's just amazing. You know, WWE usually doesn't do that, but I'm sure that, you know, as I said, this week it was just kind of like, let's just, we got 3 hours of TV, and we just got to get this thing done, and you know, between that and the, you know, trying to put over the Santa thing, like, you know, it's their, you know, just redoing the Jerry Lawler angle with Santa Claus. It was just like, okay, whatever. It was pretty lame.
It opened up with the video that we put up on the front page about a week ago of the roster on the ramp all singing a WWE version of Jingle Bells. Everybody was singing, including Randy Orton, which I don't know how they...
I'm sure he was thrilled.
Oh, I'm sure. He looked overjoyed.
Yeah.
To be singing.
I think that, like, the younger guys probably could have cared less, but I think that the guys who, you know, the guys that probably, like, grew up in the business probably were standing there just going, like, what a disaster.
I did like that, if you watch it back, virtually every single solitary person was out of character except Paul Heyman and CM Punk, who were still appalled at the proceedings. But yeah, they still participated.
Yeah.
They had Justin Roberts introduce our guest host, who was Santa. And Santa came out. It was Mick Foley in a disguise, I guess. And he's giving away presents. He goes off the ramp. He's giving presents out by the area where Del Rio usually drives his car in. And lo and behold, in comes Del Rio. And bam! Runs over Santa. And
well, they did. Whatever they did, they never actually showed.
No, Santa...
You saw him rolling over the hood, but it was like they did a big jump cut. So either what they did didn't look good, or they didn't really do much of anything and you know, try to play it up a lot bigger than it actually was.
Santa gets hit.
Played it up bigger than it actually was.
He goes down.
They played it up like he was going to die.
Tree falls on him. Lays there. Ricardo is weeping. Del Rio is shocked at what he has done. EMTs come out, neck brace, gurney, whole nine yards. And as Santa is being carted off, he gives a big old thumbs up to the crowd. Crowd chanted, "You killed Santa."
Yeah.
It appeared they did not take this seriously.
No. Well, you really couldn't. And you got to remember also that they taped this show. They had already seen, you know, a live SmackDown taping. So whoever stayed, you know, and it looked like a lot of the people stayed. You know, they were whatever.
So we had a shot backstage with Booker. He had just been in with Santa, said didn't look good. All the wrestlers were there. Cena was very upset that Santa had been run over. Del Rio said it was an accident. He didn't mean to do it. Everyone knows, he said, I drive my car out there. What's Santa doing there? So Booker announced that Santa had his final words, I guess, were that tonight in the main event, it was John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio in a Miracle on 34th Street fight. So, of course, immediately you knew that it was going to end with a Miracle on 34th Street, which is exactly what happened, and Michael Cole waited 3 hours to get that line out.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes and Kane had a match. This, of course, playing up the fact that Kane nearly killed Cody in a tag match on Main Event about a month ago.
Minute.
Huh?
Wait a minute. What I couldn't... Okay, I guess it doesn't really matter, but I was just watching this trying to think logically, which, of course, was a big mistake.
What are you doing that for?
I know, that was a big mistake. The, I mean, Cody took a fall wrong. That's what... hurt Cody. You know what I mean? It's like I couldn't get into the revenge aspect of it at all.
Well, Dave, like, in wrestling, like, men don't take a fall. They're thrown.
No, he took a fall wrong. He landed wrong. And it
Kane threw,
like,
him too high.
It wasn't like somebody did something to him. He took a fall wrong. And, you know, the idea of, you know, but nobody else did either, so it doesn't matter. So it was kind of like, kind of wasted grudge, I guess.
Cody did not win. He threw Cody into an exposed buckle, choke slam, One, two, three. Cody loses. And his mustache. Really nothing match. Then we had Santa's helper, eight-woman tag. Layla, Caitlin, Alicia Fox, Natalia against Eve, Tamina, Oksana, and Rosa Mendez. They got a lot more time than usual here in a women's match. Granted, there were eight women there. They had to do a lot of spots. A lot of stuff happened. A bunch of girls hit a bunch of moves. Caitlin hits Eve with her GTS, the G being a gut buster, and gets the pin. So Caitlin and Eve for the title likely coming up very soon.
Yeah, I would think they're taping it this week.
We had the promo for the Big Show Sheamus Lumberjack Frost match. And apparently Rey Mysterio was in the graphic as a lumberjack, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
We had the first...
They would have... I mean, they did the injury angle on the show before anyway. And he wasn't there that day anyway.
I guess I would suggest it was a last-minute injury angle. I mean, presumably they made this package prior to this day.
Presumably, yeah.
Although you'd think that since it was taped, they could have just made a new video feature.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, you know, I mean, they're overworked. I mean, again, like if it was 10 years ago, or you know, they would have, but you know, it's just too much TV.
We had the first of many Dolph Ziggler AJ segments. They were not at the show, apparently. They were chilling at home watching what she said was her favorite Christmas movie, which was Cena versus Ziggler TLC, where she tipped over the ladder, and they were all lovey. Kissing, that sort of deal.
This was trouble.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, the worst thing you could ever do is have a relationship with a girl and all she does is talk about her jilted, you know, last relationship.
Well, they already got to that point later on the show when she.
I mean, it was just like red flag. This was like red flag mania.
Yeah. Well, Ziggler should have known by now anyway if he were paying attention.
Yeah.
Colin Lawler recapped what happened with Santa. It is now a crime scene. They had tape all over the place. And Matt Stryker updated us with an update in which he informed us that there was no update. We had a Lumberjack Frost match. Bunch of goofballs came out to surround the ring. It was Big Show versus Sheamus. They had the match they always have. Kicked out of a bunch of moves. Lumberjacks got involved here and there. Finally, Sheamus...
Actually, the Lumberjacks got involved a lot.
Yeah, that's here and there. Finally, they finished with Sheamus hitting the bro kick, and then there was a giant Lumberjack brawl. I guess a tease for the Royal Rumble. 8 million guys were in there. Baby faces.
It was to build up the match for...
that's right, the eight-man later.
Because it was all the Lumberjacks fought each other in late in the show in the match where, I'm just guessing, I think that they probably went under... I don't know. I'm guessing they may have gone under a two for that one.
Hmm. That's not good. Because I enjoyed that match a lot. I thought the Usos were awesome. They were the stars of the show.
The workers. You know, I mean, I've always thought that, like, they're completely underutilized.
Yes.
They just can't figure out something to do with them. But those guys are natural wrestlers. And, I mean, you know, for their level of experience, I mean, when they first came in, they had very little experience. They were brought up to the main roster, and they could already go. They just... couldn't project, and they couldn't, you know, do a promo, and they basically got buried for that, and they've never really fully recovered.
We had a recap of the Tribute to the Troop segment with Ms. Kermit and Miss Piggy, and I know that people often state I'm too hard on the Miz, but given this was a segment with Ms., Miss Piggy, and Kermit, it was way better than I expected.
Mm.
Low praise. Mm. I'm aware.
Okay.
Not a fan?
No, not at all. Didn't like it on Wednesday.
Dave, when I heard Miss Piggy and Kermit, I was expecting probably the worst segment ever in the history of television.
Hey, Miss Piggy and Kermit are like, they know their characters.
And so does Miz, because it never changes.
Like, it's almost like they're bulletproof. I mean, the Miz, if anything... The Miz was dragging them down. It wasn't like they were, you know what I mean?
Yeah. David Otunga was out there to offer a defense for the accident that occurred earlier. Claimed Santa was guilty of vehicular vandalism. Oh, yeah?
That was a stretch.
Zach came out. It's like Otunga wins every case except when he's on TV, and then he loses everyone. So Otunga and Zack Ryder had a match, and Zack Ryder won.
Yeah.
So you know what he asked for Christmas, and he got it.
Yeah.
Win on Raw.
Yeah. Zack looked good. He looked good. Otunga's another one who's, and they even, you know, Michael Cole almost said that, you know, Otunga's pretty underutilized. I mean, he's got natural heat, and, you know, he's not a good wrestler, but he's no longer so bad that it's embarrassing. And he's just got a great, I don't know, just his delivery and everything like that. He's really good at his character. They could really do something with him. I mean, he's just kind of been odd man out, and they don't give him any credibility right now. And Zach is, you know, and, you know, I will say this, Zach is way, way, way more popular than he's booked. That's for sure.
We had Brad Maddox meeting with Booker. Said he was there to get a contract. Booker said he sucked and offered him another shot to get a contract later on in the show. We had Miz and Kofi against Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro. This was fine. It was all right. Finish saw Kofi hit his kick on Wade Barrett as Wade was on the ropes. Wade bumbled back into the middle of the ring. Miz hit his finish. Wade Barrett beaten again.
Yeah, well, he's probably getting the Intercontinental title soon, so.
And what better way to set that up?
Yep, than just constantly lose. What's known as booking that doesn't get anyone over.
Yeah, that is what that is exactly, in fact.
Yeah.
We had Dolph and AJ backstage, and
they're at somebody's house.
I'm sorry, someone's house, yes. And she's ranting and raving about Cena coming off as a crazy person. Can't stop talking about the ex, and Ziggler's got...
Was this the one where she was reading some book?
Let's see. That's the one where she revealed her shirt.
Oh, the shirt one, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to think that she had no clothes on, and then she was actually wearing a Dolph Ziggler t-shirt.
Yeah.
And he was, like, amazed, I guess because nobody had ever bought one of his t-shirts before.
Yeah. Yeah. He should have asked, did you pay for that?
Do I get my royalties?
That's right. Santa's still not doing well. We had Brad Maddox versus the great Kali, who...
He was dressed as an elf.
He was a giant elf, in fact.
Yeah. They teased that he was going to... That Brad Maddox was going to wrestle Hornswoggle. But then Hornswoggle waved in his big buddy. And I will say this, that Brad Maddox made, you know, it wasn't like a 1 minute Kali match. It was, you know, 3 minutes or so, and Brad Maddox managed to make it entertaining. I mean, it wasn't a good match. I mean, it was far from a good match, but he was able to not make it suck, in spite of the fact that the great Kali sucks. So I give him credit.
And then after Kali won with the tree slam, he sang, "We wish you a Merry Christmas," except his version was, "Merry Christmas, I wish you, and a Happy New Year." He tried.
That's what it was.
He tried.
Okay. I couldn't even figure out what he was singing.
Yes. "Merry Christmas, I wish you."
Okay.
Instead of "We wish you a Merry Christmas."
Okay.
He was halfway there.
I wasn't thinking that hard. I just thought, I wonder what song he's singing.
Yeah. So did the world.
Yeah.
Somehow I figured it out. I understand a little of great Kali's. And then he said thank you at the end. It was very kind.
Yeah.
Punk came out in his usual promo. Buried some sports teams, that sort of thing. Talked about how it was lame that he had to defend the title in January on the 7th. And
he was complaining about how Ryback ruined everyone's Christmas because he wasn't able to wrestle.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Ryback came out, and interestingly enough, he said, "If Punk is able to work in 2 weeks, we'll have the match, and it appears you will be," he said. So I guess they left it open-ended just in case.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, for this week, they could have had Punk. Punk could have worked this week, but I think that they were just being, you know, at the house show run. And they were basically just being cautious. And he is supposed to start, you know, right after this run. I mean, he might even... I don't know if he'll wrestle at the TVs and what they're doing in Richmond and D.C. On the 29th and 30th. And those might be the first TVs he works as far as wrestles. If not, you know, yeah, they're looking at Tampa on the 7th. But he should be ready. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that they're giving themselves some breathing room. He doesn't need the crutches. The crutches are a gimmick. So he's not as bad off as it looks like from watching the show.
We had Daniel Bryan beat Damian Sandow via submission. Had a fun little match.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad at all. Yeah,
actually
good.
Got to have a match here on Raw.
Yeah. Isn't it something that when the writing team's burned out, all they can do is just go, we'll do longer matches, and the matches with longer matches with these guys are make for generally better matches.
Which, in fact, brings us to the Lumberjack match, which was Tensai, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, Heath Slater, Drew McIntyre, and Jinder Mahal. Again, Santino, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd, and Brodus Clay. They had a fun match. Mostly
yeah,
the
match.
Usos
good
were
match.
Great in this match.
What?
I thought the Usos were just awesome in this match.
Yeah, and Tyson Kidd was really good, too. Gabriel was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
So a big splash and a Santa hat from an Uso on new Heath Slater for the
I
finish.
I think it was Jimmy, but I have trouble with those two guys.
We had Kane and Daniel Bryan have a meeting, and Kane had a present for Daniel Bryan. It was a slammy, and Daniel Bryan was so happy, and he said, well, I got a present for you, and it was a puppy, and Kane indicated that he wanted to eat the dog, and Bryan said, animals are our friends, not food, and he took the dog off.
Yeah. It's so weird that they gave Daniel Bryan those three slammies on Sunday, and then they're doing a storyline where none of that happened.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
It was on their It wasn't on their TV, but it was
exactly.
It was on their internet. It wasn't like
doesn't
it was
matter.
For the house show. I mean, it was on their programming.
Yeah. And we had Matt Stryker saying that Santa had taken a turn for the worst. And throughout all of the Santa segments, you could hear his heart monitor beeping. And suddenly the beeping turned into jingle bells, and Santa began clicking his feet together. I think the idea was that the crowd was supposed to start clapping along with Santa making his comeback, but literally nobody in the entire building got it.
Yeah.
And finally, John Cena against Alberto Del Rio in the Miracle on 34th Street fight. They brawled and battled all over the place. Presents were all over. There were chairs inside them. Bowling balls. John Cena hit Alberto with a tree. A pie ended up in the face of Ricardo Rodriguez. A teddy bear was used, unsuccessfully, I might add, by Del Rio.
He didn't sell the teddy bear.
Yeah. Cena didn't sell it.
Yeah.
And then, finally, in the ring, Ricardo is trying to put Cena in a sleeper. And Santa's music hits. He runs down. He hits Ricardo with a bag of presents. He puts a stocking on his hand.
They did do a thing where there was I think it was Cena. Was it Cena or was it Del Rio that hit him with like a cardboard box? And Michael Cole had to go, well, that was thick because the guy actually sold it. And he said, well, that was thick cardboard.
I think it was Cena hit Ricardo in the head with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Thick.
Okay. Right.
So a stocking claw to Del Rio, and then Cena hit the FU and got the pin. And that's how it ended. So what did we miss when the show went off the air?
Cena and Del Rio got back together, and, you know, we're baby faces.
Now, Vince did have second thoughts about turning Alberto, so theoretically next week he could still be a heel again.
Yeah, but on the SmackDown show that's already taped, he was already back babyface. SmackDown show for Friday.
This is the shittiest turn I've ever heard of.
Yeah, he wrestles Big Show by you know, standing up for Del Rio, because Big Show knocks out Ricardo.
Hmm.
So, you know, no, it's absolutely, you know, bad planning. I mean, it is really one of the worst turns, especially for a main event guy. I mean, that I've almost ever seen. I mean, this is, like I said, I mean, this is like WCW. I mean, it's that, I mean, WCW in like 2000 bad. And, but to do it for, you know, again, a guy who they're counting on to be this, you know, major baby face. It's like, couldn't they, you know, aside from, it was bad enough that they turned him with 3MB. You know what I mean? I mean, but then to do this and whatever. I guess maybe he's going to, you know, feud with, I don't even think he's going to feud with Show, because I think that's still going to be Sheamus' spot. Because Sheamus won the non-title. Sheamus ended up, you know, being programmed with Show on SmackDown. So I think that, you know, he's going to be a baby. Del Rio's going to be a baby face with, you know, maybe teaming with Miz against Cesaro or something. I don't know. My Who God. Even knows?
Not looking forward to that team.
Yeah.
Two completely unlikely baby faces.
Yeah, who don't like each other.
Yeah. All right, let's do some questions here. We got a bunch of them. We got a lot of time. Since, of course, it is it's Christmas here, not a lot's going on. What do you think of the Young Bucks? They're incredibly talented. Is not shaking hands with Booker T really going to prevent them from ever making it to WWE?
No, that won't prevent them, but it's going to be tough for them in WWE, though. I mean, even though, you know, I mean, the size, you know, it's tough for them in TNA. I mean, I know people in TNA, they were good, and, you know, the management in TNA, I mean, nobody really wanted to take them seriously. I mean, I heard it over and over again. It's like, you know, that they were, you know, how can you take those guys seriously? Especially, so, you know, that's going to work against them. They are very talented, though. But nothing like that. You know, I mean, if you're good, no one's going to remember that they didn't shake hands with somebody, even though, whatever. It was kind of, I don't know. Whatever. It's dressing room protocol, which they should know.
All right, this guy here says, do you think WWE would be willing to bring in Sting or Goldberg on low-date deals like Lesnar and The Rock?
Probably no. I don't think they want more guys like that. I mean, they might. You know, put it this way. If they wanted to, they'd get him. They haven't been calling Bill. You know, and Hunter doesn't like Bill anyway. So, and Bill's, you know, let's be realistic. Bill's, what, 40, almost 46 years old. I mean, that, and Sting's 53, almost 54. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think that, I honestly wouldn't do anything with Bill Goldberg at this point. Maybe a one-time, I mean, if there was a time to do something, it was when they had the WrestleMania in Atlanta. Once they decided not to do anything there, it's like, I don't really see a point. As far as Sting, you know, you could do it to do it. He's not going to work, you know. But, again, it's, you know, I don't know how much they really want the guy. Because, I mean, they've never really, you know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they could get him tomorrow. I mean, they've had how many years to get him? I mean, he, WCW folded in 2001, so they've had 11 years to get him, and they've never really, I mean, they've talked to him, but it's not like they've ever made him that offer, you know, the offer. I mean, you know, for all the stuff of him saying, you know, well, he was kind of leery about going, if they offered him, you know, if they offered him the right deal, he'd be there. You know, it's something that's like, I think that they've never offered him that right deal.
All right, this person here says, I hear that WWE champions are responsible for taking care of the actual belt. Is it the same thing for Ziggler's briefcase? I mean, does he have to lug that thing through airport security and all that, or are there a bunch of different prop briefcases that look the same?
I don't know. I think there's probably only one briefcase. I mean, the belts, they have two sets of belts. They have the belts that they bring to the house shows, and they have the belts which the wrestlers lug around, and they have the belts at TV, which the TV people bring, you know, which are nicer and shinier because they're not lugged around all the time.
All righty. This person here says, what do we got? What is the story behind Dr. Death Steve Williams' suspension from All Japan in 1995?
He was going to the airport, and he was caught with marijuana, and in Japan, that's a really big deal. And, you know, I mean, it really showed the power of Giant Baba, because Paul McCartney was caught years earlier with marijuana, and I think it took Paul McCartney decades before they would let him back in Japan. It only took Baba 1 year to get Dr. Death back. So that's saying something. I mean, it was when that happened. I mean, we thought, you know, that he was. There's no way they're letting him in the country, like, ever. I mean, it was just amazing. And Baba, you know, just, you know, he had a lot of power there, and he pulled the right strings. And then a year later, he was back, and he did very well, you know, when he first came back too. But that's the deal, you know.
All righty. This person says, I was wondering if you knew the status of either Mark Henry or Christian.
Christian is at this point supposed to be back in January, and Mark Henry, it's a touch and go thing. I think that there's just a question of how his shoulder's doing. I mean, he was supposed to be back a long time ago, but they haven't really scripted anything for him, and I mean, it's not even, you know, I mean, it's not even a lock that he's ever coming back. It's a question of if they have something for him, and if he wants to come back at this point. So everything's kind of, with Mark Henry, I mean, he's ready, or as ready as he's going to be. You know, I mean, again, you know, he's in his 40s and his shoulder's bad, and, you know, after the surgery. So it's you know, I mean, he can come back at any time, but I mean, like, you know, I mean, he's cleared and everything like that. It's just a question of if they write him in and if he wants to do it. But Christian, yeah, Christian is only a couple weeks away.
This person says, I read a while back that HBK went to bat for CM Punk to management back in 2006 when there was serious thought of releasing Punk. Is this true?
I don't know about releasing him. I mean, it could be true as far as releasing him, but he did say something, because Punk was over more than his push. And he was getting bad-mouthed by everyone at the time for not knowing how to work and, you know, whatever it was that they were saying. And it was pretty consensus and among, like, the agents and stuff. And Sean was just like, hey, you know, the people are reacting to him, so maybe there's something here. And so, you know, again, I don't know that he was going to be cut, but he certainly was, at that point, not getting pushed. And that helped by just kind of saying, hey, crowd's reacting to him, so maybe, you know, maybe we should do something with him.
This person says, I was always wondering, 1999, after Billy Gunn won the King of the Ring tournament, was there a big push planned for him? It seemed like after his match with Rock at SummerSlam, his push was immediately cut off.
Yes, they were going to make a big push for him as a single, and he had a feud with The Rock, and whatever happened after that feud, they lost interest in pushing him. There were a couple times when, you know, the Billy Gunn was one of those things where, you know, he's tall. He had a good body then, and he still does. He moves well, and so he's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, he looks in their minds like what a main event wrestler should look like. So therefore, we should push him. But then when you actually push him, it's like he's got this personality that is just not main event. I don't know. It's the promos are part of it. I don't think he's a very good promo. And as a worker, you know, it's a funny deal. I've talked to wrestlers who say he's a good worker, but I mean, I remember in those days when I would watch his matches, to me they were never any good. And to me, part of being a good worker is having good matches. I mean, he was one of the two guys that Benoit wasn't having good matches with. And I mean, that was, you know. I mean, it was almost impossible not to have a good match with that guy. So, I mean, Billy never really he never really had good matches, and I think that probably is what did it. Is they gave him the singles push, and it just there was something. It didn't, it, you know, the match didn't click, and the promos didn't click. He looked the part, though.
All right, a couple more here. This person says, why have some wrestlers such as John Cena and CM Punk been allowed to perform under their real names or names that they established elsewhere when most are repackaged, often with generic names? Actually, I can't even say generic because a lot of the names people are given are not generic at all. They're just goofy.
It was just, you know, they go through phases. And when Cena came up, I mean, the thing with Cena was actually... Cena was actually going to be, had used the name Prototype his whole career, and that was the name they were going to use for him. That was the name he was using in developmental. And Heyman brought him up and just thought that, Heyman was the one who was booking SmackDown, brought him up early before he probably should have been brought up. But Heyman, you know, Heyman saw talent, and I mean Heyman's thing, which he's really. noticed is Heyman has an incredible ability. He's not always right, but he is. He probably should be right almost all the time, because usually the ones where he's wrong on were actually the people drop the ball, as opposed to him being wrong. Of figuring out who is going to be really important in whatever he does, whether it's in the video games, I'm sure it's in every industry that he's involved with, he looks around and kind of just goes, this guy is going to be really important, so I'm going to be really good friends with this guy. And, you know, and it helps you. And I think that when he's booked in WWE, you know, I mean, in ECW, he didn't have to be. But ECW, it was more about, you know, him doing that, being an eye, you know, having the eye for talent. And I've got to give him credit. I mean, you know, everyone has their hits and misses. But he had some guys that, there were guys that I thought when he, you know, was really behind some guys, I thought that there was, like, nothing to them. And Bubba Ray Dudley comes to mind as one where, I mean, he did that, you know, and he did that stuttering thing, which got over. I mean, I just saw, you know, it's this big, you know, Bub, you know, he was probably 350, 375 pounds then. He was really big then. And, I mean, he was light on his feet, but he, you know, whatever. And, you know, he did that Hanson Brothers gimmick from Slapshot with him. And you know, as a pure comedy thing, but he, I remember him telling me, the guy is a talented guy. I remember when, and I go, really? I just, you know, he was green. He didn't work all that well at the time. But, you know, again, he was a rookie at the time. How good are you going to work? And there's a lot, but I mean, he's really had a good track record with guys. And in WWE, I mean, you know, the guys he latched himself onto, I mean, were Lashley, who, you know, Vince loved but didn't pan out. You know, Punk, who he saw something in and nobody else, you know, I wouldn't say nobody else did, but for the most part, nobody else did. Brock, who, you know, obviously, you know, Brock was going to be the future of the company. I mean, Brock would have been their number one guy or number two guy for, you know, if he didn't just burn out on the business. And Cena was another one where he saw Cena in developmental. And Cena, that wasn't a great eye. I'm not going to give him credit for that because we all saw Cena, you know, years before that. That Cena was going. Cena just had something. He had a charisma about him. I mean, I saw Cena do a dark match at a TV tape. And even before that, I already knew Cena was going to make it just from being around the guy and stuff. I mean, you can just, you know, if you saw him what it was, UPW or whatever it was, the Rick Bassman promotion. You know, he was like the number one guy there from you know, the first time he was in the ring, and he wasn't even any good in the ring at all. He had, you know, the look and everything. So anyway, Paul brought him up, you know, before he was ready, because he wanted, you know, to be the guy who brought John Cena up, and he gave him the feud with Kurt, and he gave him the big push, which, you know, once Paul lost power, the push went to hell because they all decreed that John wasn't a good enough worker, which, you know, and he really wasn't at the time. And, you know, he almost got fired too. But, but Paul brought him up with the idea that Prototype was a goofy name, and Paul's thing was give him the real name, John Cena. And by the time, you know, he was established as John Cena. And with Punk, you know, he was brought up as CM Punk, and that was in a time when they weren't giving people goofy names, they just used their old name. If those guys came up now, they would both, you know, they would obviously be given these different names. But it was just the time when they came up wasn't a time when the mentality was we got to give everybody goofy names.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today. But, of course, want to wish everybody happy holidays and thank everybody so much for all the support over the past year. And things are about to pick up. So be ready. There's UFC this coming weekend. We'll talk about that on Wednesday night. And big schedule coming up in January and throughout 2013. In fact, if you go to MMAfighting.com, you can have a look at Dave's list of some of the most important MMA events of 2012. So that's up right now. New observers, figure fours, lots of stuff up on the front page. So check it out. And we'll talk to you again after a while.